Going beyond the headlines to the deeper issues. 96.3 WHUR and HUR Voices, Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment, where your questions and comments matter. At 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810.
Welcome back to the Daily Drum on WHUR and Sirius XM Channel 141. This is the Insight Segment. I'm Harold Fisher. The holidays are supposed to be a time for loved ones to get together, but is it also a time when loving couples are torn apart? Well, singles website Match.com says 44% of women and 31% of men say stress levels are higher than normal over the holidays. And that puts a big burden on relationships. So tonight we're asking, is your relationship going to survive the bumps and bruises of the holidays? My guests are Jessa Zimmerman, certified sex therapist, couples counselor, and author of Sex Without Stress, and divorce attorney and strategist Michelle Thomas. Lines are open. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Jessa, thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Michelle, good to see you again.
You as well. Okay. Thanks so much.
So here's my question, Jessa. I'm going to start with you. Why would stress during the holidays be a threat to a relationship more than at any other time of the year?
Well, when stress goes up, we don't function as well. We don't communicate as well. We don't interact as well. We can't be as responsible with each other. So when we're under stress, we tend to, you know, not partner as well in our relationship.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about stress over the holidays, what kind of stress are we talking about?
Well, there's a lot of it. You know, some of it's from just this cultural idea that we're supposed to be happy. So therapists see a lot more clients around the holiday time because of that. But there's logistics about hosting meals or travel. There's financial strain. And then I think the biggest one is our interactions with our family. You know, we love these people, but going home sometimes embroils us in the old family, you know, dysfunction that we grew up in.
Mm-hmm. So, Michelle, I would think, though, if stress during the holiday or holidays, for that matter, whether it's Thanksgiving or, you know, Christmas near the end of the year or New Year's, if it is jeopardizing your relationship, isn't the relationship already in trouble long before we start shopping for turkey?
Well, that's true. I mean, a lot of times a holiday is supposed to be a positive experience, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and any other holiday you celebrate. So if there are already underlying issues in the relationship, such as difficulty communicating, a sense of a lack of appreciation by one spouse or one partner, that just becomes manifested and glorified and magnified during the holiday season. And as she was saying, bringing family into the picture, that could include in-laws and other, you know, other things like that, that just exacerbates the issue, mm-hmm. which is why in my practice, for example, and for a lot of divorce lawyers, January 1st, there's a huge uptick in the number of calls because the holidays are oftentimes the final straw. But of course, that's already if there's already trouble in your relationship.
But wait a minute, because I was thinking, okay, if you start getting phone calls in January about seeking divorce, for example, isn't January the time to woo-saw? Okay, so maybe it's over, and isn't that the time to reconnect?
It's quite the contrary. A lot of times families, particularly if there are children involved, they're saying, hey, let's try to just hold our breath, get through the holiday season, and then in January, let everyone know that this is not working. So that also exacerbates the stress during the holidays because you have all of these underlying issues that people are trying to suppress that are just bubbling and boiling inside. And then once you get past the holiday season, it's sort of all bets are off.
What about the people that you counsel, Jessa? Are you seeing more of them looking to go their separate ways in January, or are they trying to apologize, reconnect, and figure out why the holidays were so bad?
Well, for my practice, right, I'm seeing the people that are at least willing to try to repair. Right. So Michelle and I have two different clientels in that sense.
Right.
Well, when they finish with her,
they call me.
I was going to say, Jessa, if they don't work, you can send them to Michelle.
Exactly. So I also get very, very busy after, well, even before the holidays, but certainly after, with people that have survived this and now are thinking, we got to do something about this because it's really bad.
Mm. So what do they complain about most, Jessa?
Well, it's a variety of things, but I think largely it's about how we go back to the roles that we had in our what was called our family of origin, the family we grew up in. And when we go back to visit family or spend time with family on holidays, we go back into those roles, you know, with our bossy bigger brother or the power struggles or the, you know, trying to please our parents. And that ends up putting us at odds with our partner often.
And
I will say, too, you know, the big four in couples counseling are sex, money, parenting, and in-laws. So
the
families of origin and the interaction with our families and how much time are we spending with your family versus my family, and I don't even want to be around your mother, you know, all this stuff comes up at the holidays in a way that it doesn't the rest of the year.
Wow. Well, Michelle said before we went on the air, you know, be nice to the mother-in-law no matter how bad her potato salad is.
Eat it and like it. That's correct.
Just eat it and like it. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Is your relationship going to survive the holidays, the bumps, the bruises, the stress? Give us a call. Let's talk to Michael. Michael, calling from Maryland, what's on your mind?
How you doing? I look at the holidays this way. My relationship is going to survive the holidays because, one, I'm not going to take and get caught up into the everything of what society threw out in front of me. I have to take a look at what's feasible for me and find a way to communicate that with my mate. We sit and we make a decision together based on where our financial needs are. And I'm not trying to take and get out here and impress my family members, her family members, or anyone else, because it's not about them. It's about us and where our financial situation may be and where we're trying to move forward from that point. So when the holidays, it's just like any other day. It comes and it goes. This is not something that's new to us. I mean, so why do you have to get into this mode every year to go through the same thing coming into the first of the year? It's just a recurring cycle. And you already know that. Just like when the snow falls, snow is going to fall. Why wait till the last minute to go out and prepare yourself for it? You make a decision and you live with that decision. If my decision is better, then we go with it. If it goes wrong, we both go through it together and vice versa, you know. So the holiday to me is just another day.
Well, Michael raises a great point. I mean, and the point is, do you both have shared holiday values? Does it mean the same to both of you? So, for example, for Michael, he's saying, well, it's just another day. But then to his partner or to someone else, they may make a huge deal and maybe a huge production because, like she was saying, that's your family of origin. You're accustomed to making a big production during the holidays. And so you definitely want to make sure that you're on the same page and make sure that you have communicated your expectations to your partner very clearly to avoid or minimize miscommunications and ultimately stress.
But Mike,
I agree. Like, communication is a key factor. If you don't communicate, where your position is and where you stand on things, and that opens the door to basically bring about a form of miscommunication. That's where everything goes awry. I respect my mate's position. It's about how she wants to things, and I encourage her to do those things. But she also understands my position, and she also respects that. So when it comes to the holiday, it's like I give her flowers every day. It's not just one special day out of the year I do that. I mean, all the holidays have a more sentimental value, but every day I give her the same every day, and I want her to understand that. It's because.
But Michael, let me ask you a question though, because what if she doesn't like your mother's potato salad and your mother thinks that her clothes are too provocative and too tight? Where do you fall down, where do you come down, I should say, when those kinds of conflicts come up?
Well, the way I deal with that is this here. Okay, my mother's my mother, okay? And her concepts are her concepts. Her potato salad is her potato salad. If my wife doesn't like her potato salad, that's my wife's preference. If my mother don't like the way my wife dressed, that's my mother's preference. But this is the thing. This is my wife, okay? This is my wife, and I'm going to support whatever she decides to do. I'm not saying that I'm going to create a situation where there's a break in communication between my mother and my wife, but my mother needs to understand one thing. This is my wife. My wife needs to understand one thing. This is my mother. You, both of you are in my life. Hmm. I'm not taking sides, but I know where I'm supposed to be. Okay. I'm with my wife. That's bottom line. That's in the conversation.
Okay. All right. Well, look, I think you're on the winning track. Right. What do you think, Jessa?
Yeah, absolutely. I think she's lucky to have you. And it's wonderful to hear that you're not getting sucked into potential dynamics between your family and your wife. And you're also talking about planning ahead, you know, and strategizing about some of the stresses. Like if it's going to snow, you prepare for snow, right? So you know holidays are coming. So you make a budget. You know, you go in prepared. And that's a huge tip for getting through the holiday stress.
You were going to make a comment, Michelle.
Well, I think Michael hit the nail on the head. I mean, a lot of times the stress arises when one spouse doesn't feel like they are defending them appropriately or that they're taking their mother's side, for example. And Michael has it right. If you make it clear that I don't want to be in the middle of this, but if I have to be, believe that I'm choosing my wife or my spouse because that person comes first. And that is why Michael's relationship is going to survive the holidays. I am convinced.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure Michael's sitting on the front porch smoking a cigar and let
that's correct. Michael, he will enjoy his holiday.
Michael, thank you so much. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. We're asking tonight, is your relationship going to survive the bumps and bruises of the holidays, and what may be problematic for you? Lines are open again. Give us a call at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. So, Jessa, you spoke about logistics. Give me a little bit more about the logistics of the holidays and how that can at times be problematic.
Well, you know, are you hosting a big group at your home on the holidays? That can be stressful. It sounds fun, but then it's kind of a nightmare getting all the shopping done and the house cleaned up. Or if you're traveling out of town for all the holidays, I mean, we all know what the day before Thanksgiving is the busiest one of the year, right? That's stressful. Some of us don't handle that very well. Mm-hmm. So just sort of the bottom line logistics of navigating travel and hosting and, you know, cooking adds a lot of stress.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine so. You know, Michelle, the traveling thing can be difficult. Are we going to spend Thanksgiving at your mom's house, or are we going to spend it if your parents are divorced?
Yeah.
Then that can be a difficult thing.
Right. I mean, relationships are a constant negotiation. And so that's something that you definitely have to work through with your partner with respect and listening to them and being willing to compromise. I mean, that's what's required in order to navigate the holidays successfully.
Mm-hmm. Let me go back to the phone lines. 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Robinson calling from D.C. Thanks for calling, Robinson. What's on your mind?
Yes, thank you. I can be pretty sad at times.
Okay.
And I try not to be because, first and above all, I love the Lord with all of my heart. So that's not my sadness. But sometimes my sadness can be my friend. I have a friend. I'm not married. My children's father has passed.
Well, but Robinson, I'm short on time. What is your specific issue regarding...
Well, my specific issue is that I think you have to... I think and surely believe that the first thing you have to do is to love everyone. You have to love everyone.
Robinson, I've got to take a break, but I want to find out, because we're talking about relationships. We're not talking about loving everyone. We're talking about you loving one person and how that relationship will survive during the holidays. If you'll hold on, I want to be able to get you to share your point with us after the break. So stay with us. Also, Sherry calling from Virginia. We're going to talk to you next. Stay with us. Will your relationship survive the holidays? 202-319-7810. 202-319-7810. Lines are open. Please stay with us. The Daily Drum will continue on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. Jeff Brown is next with the original Quiet Storm on 96.3 WHUR. This conversation continues in just a few seconds. You'll be able to hear the program. Don't hang up. We'll be with you in just a moment.
The Howard University Radio Network is WHUR 96.3 FM, WHUR World 96.3 HD2, student-run WHBC HD3, GlassHouseRadio.com, SiriusXM Channel 142, HBCU, and SiriusXM Channel 141, HUR Voices, Washington.
Welcome back to The Daily Drum on SiriusXM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We are asking about your relationship. Is your relationship going to survive the holidays? Those bumps, those bruises, those difficult compromises or family members that often show up during this time of the year. My guests are Jessa Zimmerman, certified sex therapist, couples counselor, and author of Sex Without Stress, and divorce attorney and strategist Michelle Thomas. Lines are open. Want to hear from you at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. Okay, so our last guest was gone. Let me go to Sherry. Sherry, calling from Virginia. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I was just listening to the radio station, and the way me and my husband survive Thanksgiving is, you know, we're not the plan it out type of people, but we do plan about a month ahead of time. And, you know, things happen. You know, sometimes people can say, oh, we do it like this, it's going to be done. But you know what? People die. People come in to town that were not in town last year. Sometimes your kids go off to college, they come home, they bring people. You got mother-in-laws, you got father-in-laws, they get divorced, they bring the new girlfriend, boyfriend over. So I think if a couple kind of agrees, we're going to go into this, we're not going to stress out too much about changes, and I think, you know, as a couple, you kind of just figure out what you're going to do. I mean, last Thanksgiving, we decided we were going to a restaurant. Nobody's coming over our house, can't bring a lot of people over, but you can join us at the restaurant because that's what we're doing.
Okay.
You know? So it, you know, and then, you know, we save money all year round.
Yeah.
You know, starting after the holidays.
Okay.
So money is kind of never an issue because we have a budget. This is what we do, and I think if you have a good relationship,
mm-hmm.
you should be able to survive, you know,
anything.
1 or 2 months out of the year.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Sherry, thank you so much. I appreciate it. So, Jessa, we have Sherry, we have Michael. Both of them are sharing with us that their relationships seem to be pretty solid going into the holidays, or dare I say even year-round. Is that really the key to surviving the holidays? And if your relationship isn't solid, and you know it isn't solid, what would you recommend for those who are already on shaky ground going into the holidays?
Well, I mean, certainly anybody in a solid relationship who's got an ability to communicate, who's already, you know, knowing how to compromise and collaborate, they're prepared. Right, they're going to navigate the holidays okay. And then, you're right, anybody that's having stress in their relationship already or haven't developed those skills or have become, you know, distant and disconnected are going to have more trouble. And I guess what I'd recommend is see a therapist, you know, or some other person that you can talk to and get some perspective and learn some skills and air out some of the, you know, the issues and the conflicts that you have.
So do they come and see you before Thanksgiving? Because who has time to
right.
come and see Jessa now when you've got to decide between, you know, the butterball turkey or going out and catching your own, and is it going to be pumpkin pie or sweet potato pie, whose house
right,
we're going
right.
over? You know, there's got to be something more to it than therapy before Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I mean, people come in before, or sometimes they, you know, they get through the holidays and come in after.
Mm-hmm.
And there, you know, there are other places, you know, there's videos, there's books, there's, you know, there's sort of do-it-yourself or self-help kind of skills that you might be able to get too.
Mm-hmm.
So you read a book on your train commute or something like that.
apparently recognizing that there's a problem and trying to do your best goes a long way.
Ah, there you go. Recognizing the problem, Michelle.
Right. I think the holidays simply expose what's already there. And so if the couple is already having difficulty communicating, listening to each other, if they're not on the same page about what type of holiday experience they want, like our last caller said, one year they just wanted to go to a restaurant and not have family over. If you're already not on the same page, then I think the holidays just expose and magnify, you know, the issues, which is why then come January, people usually say, we've got some decisions to make. And that's usually the time, the new year, where they make major decisions such as, do I continue with this relationship and try to continue to work it out? Or is it time to go our separate ways?
So how do you make peace, even if you are of a mind that you already know after Thanksgiving, you've already had enough of the holidays and you're thinking this isn't going to work out. Should you kind of at least bury the hatchet until such time as you can kind of figure out what the next steps are?
Oh, I always advise clients to ensure that they've explored every option possible, particularly if there's a marriage involved and we're talking about ending a marriage, if there's children. I certainly recommend going through therapy, whether it be individual or marriage counseling, something of that sort, to make sure that you are making the right decision. Oftentimes, however, by the time you get to this point, the holidays, and you're already feeling stressed and there's already strife in the relationship, you're sort of near the brink. And as you were saying earlier, I don't think people necessarily start the therapy right around Thanksgiving because there's no time. The holidays is when you have even less time. So if you're not already in that process, it just usually makes it very difficult to keep moving forward.
Jessa, does sex help?
Well, as a sex therapist, I always think sex helps. as long as you can be considerate lovers, you know, as long as you're having sex, it's working for both people, as long as that's a place that you can sort of drop your concerns and connect again, it can be a wonderful way to ease the stress.
What's an inconsiderate lover?
I was afraid you were going to ask that.
Yes, we're on the Sirius XM side, so she can just go ahead and spill it.
I mean, it's might be surprising to hear how cruel people can be to each other, or how withholding, or how in the midst of what should be lovemaking, we're able to communicate contempt for one another. I mean, it can get bad.
You mean angry sex during the holidays?
Well, angry sex or I'm going to be bored and let you know I'm bored. I'm going to lie there and not participate, or I'm going to not do a very good job at something I know you want. I mean, it's, people can take out their frustrations and their aggression in a lot of different ways.
I'm taking notes, Jessa.
I would think
what not to do, right?
I would think that during the holidays, people often feel unappreciated or underappreciated, particularly if one person is responsible for doing all the cooking and preparing, you know, the meals, the decor, hosting the family. I think it would be easy for that particular spouse or, you know, that partner to feel like they are not being appreciated. And then I wonder if that would translate into their sex life or withholding or anything like that. Like, does that affect how they interact with that intimately?
Jessa, that's a good question for
you. Yeah, I mean, it certainly can, because you can't take sort of sex out of the rest of the context of the relationship. So sometimes people are having relationship struggles and it hasn't degraded their sex life yet. But other times they're playing out in the bedroom their exact power issues or their frustrations or their resentments, and it's totally taking a toll in the bedroom.
In
that case, having sex won't really help.
You know, something just occurred to me, and I remember hearing this from a friend of mine many, many years ago, and that she's divorced, but it was during the holidays, even though she and her husband had already established that they were not just going to separate after the holidays, but they were going to divorce. Mm-hmm. However, she said that even during that time, and this just happened to be during the holidays, which I guess that validates the Match.com survey, but she said they still had an active sex life, even though they didn't like each other.
In some ways, that doesn't surprise me.
It surprises
because
me.
Once a decision is made that we're going to actually end this relationship, we stop expecting something different from the other person. Mm. Right? So much of the struggles in relationship are because I wish you would be different. And if we get to the point of saying that's just not going to happen, I don't have to, you know, I don't take things as personally, I'm not invested in you changing, some of the pressure comes off.
Mm-hmm. I mean, people always say that money is sort of the root of all evil and the reason why, the number one reason for divorce and the like. But I tend to say expectation really fills that role, because these misguided, misinformed expectations is what breeds frustration. And that's what ultimately causes the disconnect and then ultimately separation.
What do you mean expectations?
So, well, in a holiday context, there could be expectations that you're going to exchange certain types of gifts. And if one person spends lots of money on a gift and the other person gives you like a hat and scarf, you know, there's going to be friction and tension there. But just on a broader scale, what do you expect from your partner? Do you expect a lot of attention? Do you expect a lot of affection? Do you expect, constant communication? Do you expect more independence? So there are a lot of issues that I wish more couples went to premarital counseling to address and resolve those issues before saying I do, because that misguided expectation is what drives a lot of the tension and underlying friction, from my experience.
And I would imagine in doing so, sometimes you during premarital counseling, it's I don't.
Correct. That is correct. Or I do prenups, and a lot of times I've had clients say, well, we're going to actually push the wedding off right now, or it's on pause or on hold, because they have some issues that have come up that they haven't quite navigated. But I always say it's better to do it on the front side before you say I do, mm-hmm. than after.
And Michelle, you're making a really good point, because like in my book, Sex Without Stress, the whole message of that is how our expectations around sex are unrealistic and set us up to feel like we're failing. And that's what generates all this stress, mm-hmm. and even avoidance with people. And so by adjusting how we think about what we expect and learning to communicate about that, all of a sudden it can be easy again.
But wait, but hold on though, because it's one thing if, let's say that the relationship is relatively new and you're bringing... And there are those, you know, stresses about, you know, sex and still exploring and getting to know each other. But when the relationship is maturing, and I say maturing perhaps anywhere from 5 to even 15 years married or just, coupled, are there still expectations around sexual intimacy, even at that age?
In some ways, more than ever.
Really?
Because now people are having effects of aging or stress or children and careers. Sexual desire can change. They're starting to struggle because we don't want the same amount of sex anymore. Maybe they're having sexual dysfunction creep in, and all of a sudden they feel like they're failing, or they believe, you know, sex shouldn't take work. I mean, there's so many myths and expectations, and they almost multiply as we get older and more, you know, in a mature relationship.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine, just looking at the cover of your book with the two penguins, that obviously, you know, when you have two cold partners, that's also a problem.
I haven't had anybody interpret the cover quite like that.
Yeah, well, you know,
that works too.
Yeah, that's right. You know, those are cold weather animals, and so obviously
they are pair bonded, but yes, having trouble. certainly, what the book's about is the avoidance that sets in so many couples when sex seems stressful, and it's stressful because of their expectations.
I need to take a break.
It really is possible to take the stress out.
I need to take a break. When we come back, what you need to do to keep it together during the holidays so that your relationship will indeed survive beyond January 1st. We'll be back in just a moment. Lines are still open at 202-319-7810, 202-319-7810. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to The Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141. I'm Harold Fisher. We continue our conversation about your relationship in the holidays. Is it going to survive the emotional bumps and bruises and stresses of this time of year. My guests are Jessa Zimmerman, certified sex therapist, couples counselor, and author of Sex Without Stress. Those penguins on the cover, we're going to change them to teddy bears so that they are nice, warm, cuddly, and cozy. And divorce attorney and strategist Michelle Thomas. Okay, so we've talked about the difficulties of the holidays and the stresses that they put on a relationship. And I'll start with you, Jessica, because I know we don't have you for a few more minutes. And right. my question is, how can you be intentional if you are already aware that the holidays can bring about stresses? What can men say? What can women say to make sure that they are prepared for those speed bumps, bumps, and bruises and potholes in the emotional road of the holidays?
Well, the tips I would say are partly what we've been talking about. Be very clear about your expectations ahead of time and then collaborate together to decide what you're going to do. Anticipate what's likely to be stressful for you in your relationship, and then strategize ahead of time. So is that setting boundaries with certain people? Is it having a budget? Is it having a code word, you know, that says we're leaving? Whatever it is you need to do to anticipate those problems. And then I'd also say, you know, commit to make sure you spend some time alone as a couple. Don't get so sucked up in the family events that there's no time for the two of you to get away and remember that you're a couple and you matter. You know, and you might consider some tradition that's only yours. You know, maybe you just do go out to dinner and you don't host the family, or you stop and do something else that you is uniquely yours for you with your partner.
Mm. And what about children? Does that present another difficult dynamic, or can children be helpful during the holidays for your relationship?
Well, I mean, both. As lovely as children are, they tend to be a stressor in our relationships. And, you know, they're often full of joy, and they get a lot of joy out of the holidays. They don't tend to find it as stressful. So if you can sort of, you know, watch your children's joy with things and let that seep in, that would be helpful, too.
Mm-hmm. Same question for you, Michelle. Your thoughts about making sure that you have a long view of the holidays as they approach?
Show appreciation. I mean, do what you can to make sure that the person who's hosting and who's responsible for the cooking, the cleaning, the decor, the decorations, all of that, make sure that they know that it is definitely appreciated. Because a lot of times, you know, there's not an equal division of labor in a house. It's often inequitable and often, you know, not equal. So just remember that while one partner or person may be enjoying some football games, the other person has worked really, really hard to present this family gathering, and appreciate that person. Make sure that they know that they are valued in what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Based on your experience, Jessa, and obviously I wouldn't want you to tell me any names, but do you...
Right.
Yes, let's not. Penguin 1 and Penguin 2.
Right.
Are there any stories or anything that really comes to mind related to this topic where, you know, couples that you thought were standing at the precipice of divorce and there was an aha moment for them that brought them back from the brink after the holidays?
I can think of a couple, actually, with almost exactly that scenario, where Penguin one thought there was sort of no other option than to end the relationship. You know, she felt sort of that trapped and that stuck and hadn't realized that if she really was clear about her expectations and her needs at this point in her life after, I don't know, 25 years of marriage almost, once she started talking about that, realized, wait, there is room to sort of renegotiate how we do this relationship. And that Penguin two was actually quite willing to adjust and do things differently. And all of a sudden it's like, oh, I don't actually have to leave.
Hmm. Was there something about Penguin 2 that that made him say, oh, all of a sudden, that what is it that he missed, if there was something indeed that he did miss?
I think it was more about her not speaking up about what she wanted at this point. You know, they've been married a long time, and so, you know, it's common to have a way of doing things. We coast along, kind of get in a rut. And she really hadn't even brought some of this up to his attention.
Interesting.
So I always encourage people to speak, you know, get in touch with what you want and speak up about it. You may not get it, but you at least should be asking.
Interesting. Michelle, your thoughts about that, you know, particularly when you're dealing with, you know, your clients and those kind of aha moments.
There are certainly times where couples decide, well, wait a minute, let's give this one more chance. Sometimes it's for religious reasons. I mean, I certainly have clients who may have attended the same church, have been very involved in their churches, and sometimes they say, okay, well, let's just give it one more try. I mean, at other times, it may be children who are communicating to the parents that they don't want this to happen, particularly if there may be slightly older children who are involved and expressing that how much this is affecting them. And I think that when couples take a step back and look at the big picture and look at how it is affecting the children that are involved, sometimes they can say, well, wait a minute, let's at least go to counseling one more time. Let's try this one more time before we decide. Now, I will say that in my practice, when that's happened, usually 6 months or so down the road, they call me back because it may not have worked out. So a lot of times when they are close, they often do go their separate ways, but I have seen couples say, put everything on hold. We're going to give this one more shot, which I always support because I always believe that divorce should be your absolute last resort. After you've done everything else you can, then say, okay.
Mm-hmm. Last question for you before I let you go, Jessa. Should couples stay together for the children? Is redirecting their energy towards the children instead of themselves healthy?
I mean, this is my opinion, but no, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Not if that's the only thing that's keeping them together, because what happens is the kids are watching a relationship with no warmth and no passion and potentially no kindness. It kind of depends how, you know, how kind they can be to each other. If they're still best friends and get along great, that can work. But if it's really a strained relationship and there's tension and even contempt, the kids are going to pick that up.
Mm-hmm.
So that's then what you're modeling for your children and what they might come to expect for themselves. Mm-hmm. So in some ways, you're much better off providing them, you know, healthier modeling in new relationships, potentially, if you do your work.
Jessa Zimmerman, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it. I know we have to let you go. We've got a few more minutes with Michelle, but I want to thank you so much
for having me.
Sharing your expertise, and get those teddy bears on that front cover of that book, and we'll all be
on it.
That's right. Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. You know, Michelle, that was an interesting, you know, point that she made, and I kind of agree with that if you are redirecting your energy, and particularly during the holidays, where if you have young children and you decide you're going to ignore the problem, which may translate into ignoring your mate, your spouse, your husband, your wife, whatever, that they will indeed pick it up because they may know, yeah, mom loves me, dad loves me, but they're coming from different places.
Well, children are like sponges, right? I mean, they absorb everything and more than what we probably even realize. It only works when parties attempt to reconcile and work through their issues if both are committed to bettering their lives together. I don't think it does work, and it's certainly not healthy for children if both parties are simply there. They're just passing the time, living as roommates, because as she was saying, just was saying, you are modeling for your children what a relationship looks like that's either going to be a healthy relationship or an unhealthy one. And if we want to stop breeding generations of unhealthy and toxic relationships, then the onus is on us to stop modeling that. So if you are considering staying together for the children, there has to be a deep-rooted commitment by both partners to work on growing together and truly reconciling in every respect, not just going through the motions.
I only have about a minute or so left, but so imagine this. It is now January 2nd. Should old acquaintance be forgot? And the stresses, we're in that woosah period. What is the best advice that you can give to someone that may be considering separating or divorce before they pick up the phone and call you?
Well, before they call, I think they need to make sure that they've checked every box and done everything they can, whether that's, like I said, counseling, pastoral, otherwise, reading books, talking to friends and family, getting support, getting input, because sometimes the people that are closest to you and care the most about you can see things that you may not. They may see potential in their relationship, or they may say, you need to pack your bags and go, like yesterday. So I definitely say value your village, what we often call it, and do that consultation. And if after you've done all of that, you still have this feeling, this urging that this is not working, it's not healthy, and I deserve better, then you make the phone call and at least have a preliminary conversation so that you can be prepared. And you and I have talked a lot about needing to be prepared before you go through the separation and divorce process. So that's what I would recommend.
I think that's a good way to end this relationship. End this conversation.
No comment.
Yeah. Boy, I tell you. Look, Michelle Thomas and Justice Zimmerman, I want to thank both of you for talking to us. And to all of you out there, struggling or not, certainly happy holidays to you. You know, just have a turkey leg and just woosah. You'll all be just fine. That is the Daily Drum on Sirius XM Channel 141 for this Friday, November 16th. For News Director Renee Nash, reporters Taylor Thomas, Millette Green, Bramante Bryant, producer Candace Atkins, and engineer Bobby Adams, I'm Harold Fisher. You can tweet us using the hashtag WHURFM. Now stay tuned for The Connection. Good night and have a wonderful weekend.